flew. My, my. No more pneumonia. No more cancer. Look what you got to look forward to. Yeah, now we just got to live it out in trust, joy, faith, and we will, in obedience, and we will receive a reward. I love the scripture that talked about how to go about serving people. Our service is not about being seen by other people. Our service is about letting God know that we love Him enough to obey Him, and we don't need anybody to see it. We just do it because of what He's done for us. And so hopefully that's how we're going to take a look at these attitudes to have, because I have a feeling as we go down through these attitudes, most likely most of us will say, there's a few attitudes I got to work on. There's a few attitudes that are not like the way God wanted me to be. But two, once we realize that the attitudes that God wants us to develop in our life are not going to harm you. Actually, it's going to bring you a better life. And so it's nothing that we should dread. It just doesn't feel natural to the human nature that kind of Satan has deceived that we desire, and that's a sinful nature. And that separates us from the attitude of God. And so all we have to do is keep on checking, having an attitude check. I don't know how many parents, you ever use that phrase? Now, son, you need an attitude check. What you're saying is just check out your attitude. Is that a great one, bad one? How you use it? Let's see. I'm trying to look. I don't see her here this morning, so good. I get to tell a story on her.
My sister-in-law, Shelley, this is when they lived in Tulsa, and her attitude wasn't the greatest one day. So Kay had instructed her that you needed to go to your bedroom until the attitude changed, and once the attitude changed, you can come back out. Now, how do you know my sister-in-law Shelley? Okay, if you haven't met her, she's a jewel to me. She has Down syndrome, but very innocent and very loving, very gracious and merciful. Well, it had been an hour or so, and no sign of Shelley. And so Kay thought, well, I better go check on her, because, you know, maybe she is trying to chisel away at this attitude. And so Kay opened up the door of the bedroom and saw Shelley in there, and she said, hey, Shelley, has your attitude changed yet? And Shelley came back and said, mine's fine. What about yours?
So, for all of us, got some attitude to work on, so... So let's talk to the Father, because we need the power of the resurrection to change our attitude. So bow your heart. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. This is a time together. This is where sometimes I don't even like standing upon this stage, because I'm not higher than anybody else. We just want to open up your word together and see your spirit that calls us back to the image that you created us in the first place. And our journey back there is, in one way, is our attitude. And so I pray that you'll bless me to be able to share the thoughts. Pray blessings upon all the struggles that we're having in a physical sense, because I tell you, you can see where physical things and physical crises really affect our attitude. And we want to be able to have the attitude that this world is not our home. All the sickness and disease is because of the sin of mankind. We take ownership of our own. But there's someday, and it's by following Jesus, believing in him, learning from him, living the life, and developing the attitude that he had, that you will give us a reward to be with you where we won't have to face these sicknesses ever again. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunity. I pray that we can plant and water good hearts this morning, and that when this message goes home in the hearts of the people, they'll keep watering it, they'll keep developing it, and it'll bring a pleasing aroma to you. And so, Father, we thank you for the power of the resurrection that can change our attitude. And it's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all of us who agree with what the words I just presented to you, we say together, amen. How to be attitudes? Well, sometimes the world hears us saying we're Christians, and yet our attitude at times doesn't prove it. So here's one example. James Dobson reported seeing a sign on a convent, outside a convent in Southern California, that read this: no trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted. Sign, the Sisters of Mercy. Now, I don't know about you, that kind of sounds that mercy is lacking in some form or fashion. But we want to find out what really mercy is. How can we become people of mercy? Now, if you've been following along or been coming and listening to the last four presentations that I have brought of how to be attitudes, you've heard us talk about understanding our spiritual poverty, being poor in spirit, how we need to mourn that we actually have sinned before God and fell short of his image, and that sin separated us from his image. You've heard about that you'll be blessed when you mourn, because that means you can find comfort in the forgiveness of God and peace, and you can be brought back as one with him. Then blessed are those who develop meekness. That is having strength under control. When you might feel like you have the right to tell somebody or put them in their place or to have them hurt because they said something hurtful to you, that you would practice meekness and bless the person, and you will be blessed by having that strength under control, that you can tame your tongue is what James talks about, because the tongue is just like the rudder on a big old ship. Boy, it can get you headed in the wrong direction pretty quick. But even though it's small, it has a lot of power to guide that ship. And then last week, we talked about having a spiritual hunger, a spiritual thirst to seek after what's a righteousness or holiness of God. And I mentioned about a book called The Pursuit of Holiness, in which I believe every newborn babe in Christ should probably start studying as soon as they come up out of the water and are forgiven. Because we need to pursue holiness. Even though we're forgiven and we're spotless of sin, we're such babes in Christ, that's going to be easy to go back to the old life again. So we have to have a pursuit of God's righteousness in our life. So those who hunger and thirst, we will be filled with the righteousness of God. Now, those four are attitudes within, something that you make from within. You decide that you understand the poverty that your spirit is without God. You understand your sin and how that has affected you, and you mourn over it because Jesus had to go to the cross over your sin. The control, where you hold it inside so that you can be obedient to God. You hunger and thirst from inside. Well, the next five attitudes are going to be dealing with the action of those four heart attitudes. Okay? So if your heart's a certain way, action will follow. So I think why Jesus dealt with those first four is that you got to get your heart having the right attitude. Because if you get your heart having the right attitude, these action attitudes will start being produced in your life. Okay? So it starts with the heart and it moves to action. You know, I can say I love you, but love without action is just, it's dead, just like faith without action. So we can say all we want, but we got to do what is said. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." So what we're going to do on your outlines, you can go ahead and mark on this. This is your first fill in the blank, is that we want to talk about the meaning of mercy. What's it mean? What is it? Now, you can come up with seven definitions or find different definitions used, but if we consider all the things that the Bible is talking about mercy, really what it boils down to as a definition, here's what mercy is. Mercy is love in action, and it's by not giving what is deserved. Okay, and I'll explain that in just a moment. Grace is an action attitude. Giving grace to somebody is love in action, but it's giving something that is undeserved. Okay, see the difference? They're really connected with each other, grace and mercy. But grace is giving when it's not deserved. Now, it'd be like God giving us salvation because you and I really don't deserve it, do we? If you struggle with that, then we're going to have to go back to the poor in spirit, okay? And work on that attitude. You don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. I'm a sinner. I've been disobedient. I've loved myself at times more than I've loved my own creator. I don't deserve to be saved. But he wants to give it to me. Free of charge. I don't have to do anything. But start believing in Jesus. Then by following Jesus, actions will start changing. Attitudes will start changing. But see, the action comes after realizing he has saved you through the blood of the Lamb. So really, what I need to do is just believe. If I truly believe in Jesus and why he had to come and die, then I start following him, then my actions will follow. Okay? And that's why we got to understand the poor in spirit. I don't deserve God's grace. But God wants to give it as a gift to the world. It's will they come to him to receive it? It's just like at Christmas when you have gifts. You got to show up to be able to receive it. And then once you receive it, you got to unwrap it. After you unwrap it, you got to read the instructions. After you read the instructions, you put it together. After you put it together, you leave it on the coffee table and never use it again, right? But the gift of salvation is that way. It's to be used. It's to be responded to. Mercy is holding back what somebody really does deserve. It's like grace is giving something you don't deserve, but I'm going to hold back. If people would receive my gift of salvation, my gift of grace, then I'll hold back what they really deserve. I'll give something, they don't deserve it, but if they receive it, I'll hold back what they deserve. What we deserve is really an eternal separation from God. That's what we deserve, because we chose in our sin to be separated. Okay? But since you respond to the gift of salvation, then you become one back with God, and He holds back what you deserve. Okay? I really worked on hard this week in my mind. How do I explain it in a very simple form so that we can... So you guys got it? Okay, move forward? Okay, let's move forward. All right. Psalm 145, verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love." See, I had to get over a point in my life that I thought God was just an angry spirit. I had to really grow past that. I had to really get to know God. I really didn't know God. I knew facts about God, but a lot of the times when you especially read, it's like I've heard it before. You got the God of the Old Testament, you got the God of the New Testament. He was so mad and mean and ugly in the Old Testament. And then he got converted to love, and then in the New Testament, now he's all love. God is God, God is love, and he was that way in the Old Testament, and that's the way he is in the New Testament, and that's the way he is today. God is love. But because of mankind's sin, we've separated ourselves from that love. And he still wants to draw us back to him to give us the gift of salvation, which we don't deserve. And then if we do choose to receive it, he'll hold back what we truly do. Because God is a gracious and merciful God. He's slow to become angry. He has to be. I would have never, ever, you don't want me to be God. So never put another man higher than another man. Because I tell you one thing, you don't want me to be God. Because I'm not holy. I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. Responding to it. Because I guarantee you, I would not put up with the children. One complaint, out of here. You don't want to listen to me? You don't want to trust me? Forget it. You're in Egypt, I heard you cry. You were upset. You yearned for a relationship with me. And I heard your cry. So I'm going to send a leader to go get you. He's going to convince Pharaoh to get you out and to release you. Well, then I had to deal with that leader's attitude, because he's kind of like, I'm no speaker. I can't be quiet. Pharaoh won't listen to me. Well, okay. Still going to send you because I chose you. Well, I'll send Aaron along to take gloom. I wouldn't put up with that. I would have said, okay, now, I will have to say, guess what? God was just about ready to say, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to start all over. Then here's his relationship with his children. Moses is just saying, oh, but God, if you did that, look what our enemies are going to think. You even drag your own children out of captivity just to destroy them. Okay, hold on. You're right. I'm a loving, gracious, merciful God. And I will endure complaint. That I'll try to lead them from. And so that's why God is so full of that grace and mercy. Now, again, what he's calling us is that for us to be merciful. See, one reason we receive mercy when we ourselves are merciful is because we are, in fact, becoming more like God's image. When you show mercy to other people, you're reflecting God's image. As you grow in his image, we'll understand more and more the experience of what true blessing in our lives are all about. So that's the meaning of mercy. Now, number two, the marks of mercy. These are the, I guess, what you'll see, the marks of mercy. How do I know if I'm a merciful person? How do you know if you have the attitude of being merciful? So we're going to look at some marks here. So fill in the blank, and then you can evaluate yourself. Number one, if I'm merciful, I'll be patient with those who are different than me. And yes, that word patience, God is calling us to produce. We can't say anymore, I got my impatience from my grandma Bessie. Can't say that no more. You're a believer in God. What we do say is that I'm an impatient person seeking after the patience of my God, my Father. If I'm a merciful person, I'll be patient with those who are different than me. I believe that in everyday life, now you can answer this question. I believe that in your everyday life, you're going to cross paths with extremely obnoxious and rude people. I only got two people. There's three. I feel like an auctioneer now. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. If you ever cross paths with somebody that's just totally obnoxious and rude. What's that?
Every day.
Every day. And mine starts as soon as I get up and look in the mirror. Now, how do you handle those kinds of people? Well, first of all, what's God say? How does he want us to handle them? 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. It's going to take something as powerful as raising a dead body to walk out of there to grow that kind of impatience, that kind of patience in me. But it's obtainable if we receive grace and practice mercy. Okay? So, patient with everyone? I mean, I don't know about you. I put a question mark there in my notes. I mean, come on, don't I get to choose? God, who to be patient with? Shirley, I don't know about you, but I'm not patient with everyone. To practice mercy, I'll be patient with those who are different, those who are obnoxious, those who are rude. How can you be patient with those that are different than you? You take the time to learn and to look beneath the external behavior or the goofiness, or sometimes, and again, you got to remember the Bible says don't call somebody stupid even though they act it. You got to look underneath that exterior to look for possibly some internal pain. I've heard, I'm no psychologist, but I've heard that most rude people have a pain that's deep down underneath. There's something that has hurt them. God says, look for it and try to help. Because behind every peculiar behavior, there's loneliness, hurt, depression, or anxiety. And that God says we need to see that. Romans 15:7 says this, therefore accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Accept one another. We don't accept each other's sin. We don't accept each other's obnoxious part. We don't accept each other's rudeness. What we do accept is the person as a human that God died for. So, even though they have some of the sins that are in Scripture, even though they may be gossipers, they may be slanders, maybe even sexual immoral people, maybe even homosexual, what we do is we don't agree or participate in or just kind of ignore the sin, but you accept the person as a human being that Christ died for. And there's ways to look for. Do you remember Flavio? You know Flavio, that's Richard's son-in-law. Remember his sister and what she struggled with? I think most of us in this room, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm the only one. I would probably wrote her off a long time ago. Probably never want to spend time with her. Probably just set a rule that you're never going to come to our house for Thanksgiving if you're going to act that way. And yet Flavio just invited her in, talked to her, and communicated about his disagreement with her choices, but still loved her and prayed for her. And later on, she confessed her sin before God and was baptized into Christ. That's wonderful. And that's being merciful. The interesting thing about accepting people is that we're hearing different cries in our nation about, mostly it's not accepting me, it's asking you to accept their sin. And the only way that we can accept them is to accept the sin. That's what I'm hearing. Well, there is a way to accept them without accepting their actions. Okay? Number two, if I'm merciful, I'll forgive those who have fallen. When people make mistakes, do not rub it in. When people let you down, do you hold it over their head for the rest of their life? Where you never let them off the hook. Well, that's not mercy. The interesting thing about forgiveness, now get this. The interesting thing about forgiveness is that when you're called on to receive it, it feels right. But when you and I are called on to give it, for some reason it starts to feel wrong. we don't want to forgive people, we will not receive forgiveness either. If we don't want to forgive people, sometimes we want them to feel the hurt that they brought to us. But if I'm merciful, I will forgive. It's a lot easier. Look, it's a lot easier to criticize somebody than it is to sympathize with them. It is so much easier to point the finger at somebody than it is to lend a helping hand. Number three, if I'm merciful, I'll help those who are hurting. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it's due, when it is your power to do it. Mercy demonstrated through practical actions. There are people all around us who are hurting. If we just look at them just feel sorry for them, we're not being like Christ. When we do something about it, we're being like Christ. Now remember, mercy's definition is love in action. So 1 John 3:17 and 18 says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So let us not love in word by just saying, I love you, but in action and in truth. I don't know about you, but these verses cut to me. Don't just say we love people. You show love to people. Do something real. Jesus is saying, happy are those who care enough to get involved. And then here's the kicker. Last one. I've saved the hardest for the last. If I'm merciful, I'll even do good to my enemies. Now you talk about the highest of holiness in talking about being mature in Jesus Christ. This is a good sign that you're maturing to be like Jesus, is when you actually do something good to your enemies. If you want to be like God, be merciful, do good to those who do evil to you. The best way to eliminate an enemy is to turn him into a friend. At least try. So the last one, the motivation for mercy. Be imitators of God because God has shown us mercy. Luke 6:36 says, be merciful even as the Father is merciful. James 2 says, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. So how do I become a merciful person? Experience the mercy of God for yourself. And then start looking at people with the eyes of Jesus. And I think we probably have two kinds of people here this morning. We have people here that need to experience the mercy of God for them. Because I guarantee you this, and this is one principle I have learned. Mercy to other people unless I've experienced the mercy that God has given me. And I have a feeling in this room there's somebody that still has not received that. They still feel like God, all he wants is to separate and destroy them. That he's just up there waiting for you to make a mistake so he can cut you off. He really wants to wrap his arms around you and welcome you in. If you receive God's mercy, then you can go out and show mercy to other people. If you lack in that,
receive it today. David kept the power in the blood. We got to believe in that. So, if you want to be blessed and have mercy shown to you, receive it, and then we'll show it to others. If you need to respond in any way, you can come and tell me. I'm sure we have somebody possibly in the back or somewhere. All you have to do is just come up and talk. We'll pray over you. I have a feeling we've got some growing to do in the merciful part. So all of us can confess that this morning. That's the other thing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
there is power,
wonder-working power in the blood.
In the
there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Standing or sitting?
Just remain standing for a few more minutes and bow with me as we go to God in prayer. Father, as we consider what Kevin has said today, sometimes, you know, we've read through the verses in Matthew, we've read the Beatitudes. We kind of skim over this merciful thing without really thinking about it and thinking, yeah, I'm merciful with people. But wow, the message that Kevin delivered today, a lot of things to think about. We pray, God, that you would help us to consider this, to meditate on it, to really put the things into practice.